Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome into Risen Life. Praise the Lord. Another day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So let us open with prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we are physically and mentally able to be here. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, which is new every day, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Let the word that you have given me come forth from these lips, my thoughts and words, everything, my actions be yours, Lord Jesus. Let nothing remain of me, but only what you want us to have today. Let it come forth from this vessel. Lord, I pray your blessings upon the hearers and especially the doers of this word. Let it take root into our hearts and grow and prosper us into the men and women that we are called to be. We are called to be the army of God, to go in and tear down the strongholds of the enemy, not only in our own lives, but in the help others do the same as well. Father, bless each and every person here, those that are hearing this word on the Facebook Lives or whatever avenue they're using, Lord. Let it bless them. Let the word go forth and prosper. May it be a seed that the enemy not steal, because you bring life and life more abundantly. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk about a very serious subject, one that we do see very prevalent in this time. I think the worst I've ever seen in my whole life, and it's depression. That's simply what we're going to talk about is depression. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't have a medical degree. There are many reasons for depression, physical, chemical. I am not opposed to you being treated by a physician for such a thing, if that is what you need to do. But I want to talk today to the children of God about a spiritual depression which manifests into the physical. And as the overseer of this service, the Risen Life service, this is a battle that everyone deals with at one point in their life. You may not be dealing with it yet, but I'm telling you, the enemy has it in his pocket of tricks, and he will bring it out. It's a card that he likes to deal out quite often, especially when you're trying to move forward in God. You're trying to be more, more righteous and choosing the right things to be more Christ-like, I should say. Depression is one of the things that he will try to bring to you. I don't care how long you've been walking in this walk, how new you are, how long it's been. He will always bring this card to you, to the table, at one point in your life. And I want to talk about a couple of the spiritual things that, spiritual depression issues that I've seen and the Holy Spirit's revealed to me. I've been studying on this all week long. God gave me the idea on Sunday, and it kind of progressed, and of course it was a battle I had to deal with myself this week, simply because I was diving into the Word of God, learning about it, and then seeing it happen in my own life, trying to deal with the issues that I saw in my own life. So I bring it to you, not at any at great cost for myself. Now, anytime you're teaching and preaching the Word of God, you will eat the Word first, literally. You have to apply it to your life. You have to take that light and shine it on your own life and see what area this applies, not only to you, but that way you can be the help to others. You can see it in others as well. And the thing where it started was Proverbs 12 and 25. This is the first verse that God gave me, and it reads, in the King James Version, it reads, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now let me read the New King James Version. It reads, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And the word heaviness struck a chord in me. Because when you are having anxiety issues, when you're dealing with fear and doubt and depression, you are dealing with a heaviness that the enemy is trying to give you. It's a load that you are not meant to carry. Do you remember the scripture? He says, bring your burdens to me. My burden is light. we are not meant to carry certain things. Those are the things we're supposed to give to God. He's much bigger than us. He's much stronger than us. And let him carry that burden. And we're supposed to take his burden. His burden is light. You know why? Because he's already walked through it and been victorious. When I can learn to carry his burden and give him mine, then I can learn to live a more abundant life. So the word heaviness is defined in the King James Version as anxiety, as care, as fear, as sorrow, or carefulness. When you are burdened down with these things, you are heavy. That, of course, is not a spiritually sound position to be in as a child of God in the army of God. How many soldiers, Kenneth, did you know that fought their battles like this in the natural? Puts them in an awkward position, doesn't it? The enemy has an advantage, does he not? You're easy prey if you're halfway down to the ground, aren't you? It wouldn't take much for me to push you on down and just keep you down. Wouldn't even have to use a weapon. Pretty much just your own hands could do that and your own body weight. So the enemy intentionally brings you heaviness. He brings you anxiety. He brings you depression. These all go together. These all play in one for another. They're like in the same family. Whichever one you take, the others will follow. They will follow. So I want to break down some of the words. Anxiety is defined as a state of uneasy. It's worry. It's fear about future uncertainties, often rooted in a lack of trust in God's sovereignty, which means his superior power and authority, and in his provision. Do you know what anxiety is? I've got something big on the horizon in a couple of days, and I sit back and worry about it. Worry about if I'm going to be able to deal with it. Am I going to be able to fit? Is it going to work my way? That is anxiety. That's future uncertainty. Instead, as a child of God, I'm sitting here. God has brought this into my life. Obviously, through him, I can be victorious regardless of what it is. I am capable of handling whatever he allows to come into my life. That is the attitude we should take. That defeats anxiety. Care. The word care is caught up in concerns. Mentally in a different direction. Distractions of the mind. Those are definitions of care. Caught up in concerns. I care too much. Have you ever caught yourself caring about someone too much? And it got you in a mess? Yep. That's one good example. You care too much. Told my husband and I as we were driving here, he had some concerns about, you know, making sure this was done properly, making sure that was done properly, but it wasn't our family. And I looked at him and I said, so let me tell you, yes, I understand you care, and I do too. I care. But at this point, if we get involved, it's going to be called meddling. This was extended family. Meddling. We're going to be meddling if we start telling them what to do and they don't see it as care. We care for them. So sometimes care has good intentions, but it's not the right thing. Fear, we all know what fear is, don't we? It's doubt and lack of trust in God. I did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There's a reason why it's those three. That covers depression, doesn't it? Anxiety. Carefulness. That is preoccupation with worldly concerns, often to the point of anxiety. Carefulness. Going back to caring for things that God has told you to keep your hands off of. Carefulness. People wonder why leaders and pastors and teachers have to take a back seat sometimes, because God has told us that's not your problem. that is not yours to handle. It is mine. There was a time I was praying for a woman who was sick, and I had faith, and I know God could heal her, but God had to tell me, she doesn't want my healing. Stop praying for her. I was too careful about, more caring for her, and God said, I can't fix it because she won't allow me to. More, that was carefulness. I couldn't be preoccupied with that because it was never going to happen. There was a situation where a young man was ill just recently and he did pass away. But I was believing in my heart that God was going to resurrect him from what had happened. After a couple of days, my concern, my burning concern was gone. And I didn't understand it. My concern switched to his family. God was trying to prepare me for his death. It wasn't his will to bring him back from the situation. That is a jagged pill to swallow. That's the hardest thing. Is when you're having faith and you know God can move in this situation and God says, it's not going to be. I need you to turn your attention to those that are here still. That became a heaviness this week for my life. I had to deal with that heaviness. Carefulness. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Depression can have and can be caused by natural circumstances, natural effects, physical, chemical issues. And I do believe that you should seek help, but I'm talking about spiritual depression. What I'm talking about is the disappointments which leads to discouragement. This is one of the things that he uses. Double-mindedness causes this fear to take control in our lives, and even sin in our lives can cause depression to rear its ugly head, anxiety, and everything that goes along with it. While I believe not all depression is caused by sin, we must always search ourselves and determine what is causing it. And most times we'll find it's a disappointment. It's a lack of trust. It's a fear. It's something that the enemy is bringing to us or that we have perceived in our own minds. And the enemy's taken advantage of that open door. There was the day I was laying on the couch several months ago, maybe a year ago, and I physically felt the spirit of oppression come on me, spirit of depression. And I heard the enemy say, it's not working. All that you're doing is not making a difference. You might as well just end your life. I physically felt that presence next to me. Physically. Now you're talking about battling depression? That was a flat-on frontal attack. Had I bought into that, and for a split second, I thought about it. And then I realized what I was dealing with, and I had to use the tools that I'm going to teach you about today to defeat what had come into my home. I was in my home and was talking to me like that. As a child of God, I do not have to put up with that. You are not welcome in my home in that sense at all. But the first thing I think about when I think about depression, of course, is Elijah, 1 Kings 19. And I will not, because of time's sake, I will not read all these stories. I'll give you just what I'm talking about today, what I saw, what God gave me. But write them down, go back and read them with the information that you're hearing. Elijah had defeated the Baal prophets. There were like 450 of them. He not only had shown Israel who God was with the offering on Mount Carmel, when the fire came from heaven and burned up his altar that had been doused with so much water, and nothing had happened to them, their altar, you know, their God had not heard their cries. And then he and all them there took the prophets, those prophets out and slew them all. And then the king's wife Jezebel sends word that she's going to take his life. And he runs. Finds himself up under in a desert, up under a broom tree, as they call it. Asking God to end his life. I'm done. 19 verse 4 of 1 Kings says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and they call it a broom tree too, some versions, and he requested for himself that he might die. This is him talking to God. The man who just slew 450 prophets and showed the whole world of Israel who God truly was. Great victory. Listen to what he says. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. That's preachable right there. It seems to me that he felt like a failure. Even though he had this great victory, God had showed up and showed Israel, and they had fallen on their faces and said, the Lord God, he is the one. Baal is nothing. Whom they had been serving, by the way. Sounds like he felt alone. Sounds like he was a little weary and overwhelmed by everything. Sounds like he was persecuted because Jezebel had sent word that she was going to kill him. I might even add, he even sounded a little disappointed. So let me tell you, children of God, when you have a great victory in your life, he's coming. He's coming for you. I don't care how much you shouted, how much you spoke in tongues, how much you saw people healed. He's waiting for you outside. And may not even start there. But he will come for you. He will show you everything that you did wrong. People asked me one time, do you go back and listen to your sermons? I said, oh, heck no. I did that one time. One time. The enemy picked me apart. Picked me apart. Over things that I said, the way I looked, what my hair looked like, what I was wearing. I mean, the smallest details. He will pick you apart if you allow him. But when the great victory, he's going to come. He's going to make you feel weary, make you feel alone, make you feel like a failure, make you feel like you didn't equal anybody else in the world. You know, my fathers, I'm not like my fathers. He's going to make you feel, and then he's even going to bring persecution. Somebody one time after a church service come up to me and asked me something one time, and I told him, I said, nope, don't do that. I got to deal enough with what I already know. I don't want to go back and see what I said and did. It was a little bit of a persecution. Sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, they always have something to say. Once Jezebel made her threat, it was like the last straw for him. He ran. Do you see the fear? I'm not enough. I'm all alone. I'm unprotected. It didn't turn out the way I wanted or expected. How many times you've been down that road? I thought God would bring my ministry about in a totally different way. Mm-mm. Wasn't what I thought. Wasn't what I expected. My life is worthless. Even after a great victory for God, his emotions and feelings got the best of him. They betrayed him. Let me just tell you, your emotions and your feelings will betray you. On a daily basis. Do not learn to live by them. Learn to live by the word of God. Don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like. Learn to live by the word of God. That's taking that burden off yourself and taking his burden. It's a great exchange if you can do that. They became bigger than him. And they become bigger than God. And they will. We must remember to put in practice what the Bible says, Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the sun, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So speak to yourself the truth. The truth. Not what you feel, not what you see, not what you heard. The truth, the word of God. And then allow it to do the work that it's called to be. You've got to open your mouth, say the words, and then you've got to work with those words and apply them to your life. You can't go around and rebuke demons and then sit in the corner and cry about the demon that is afflicting you. That's a double-mindedness. Either you have power or you don't. Period. You can't speak life with your mouth and then walk around 2 minutes later and speak death over it. It's got no power to work if you continue to do that. Meditate on the good in your life. Isaiah 61 and 3, it says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what the enemy's bringing you. He's bringing you depression. It's a heaviness. He's bringing you anxiety. It's a heaviness. He's bringing you fear. It's a heaviness. Open your mouth and praise him. I read one gentleman, he said he started journaling every day, three things good in his life, when the negative would come especially. And then he said, I think he started out every day with the good. That way he had something good. Then the Bible said, whatever is beautiful, whatever is wonderful, whatever is lovely, think on these things. That is a protocol to cover your mind, to put your helmet of salvation on. When you adjust your mind, your feelings must come into alignment, because whatever you think on controls you. Whatever you think on. Have you ever been driving down the road and you saw something cute on the side of the road, you know, place, or, and you look that way and your mind focuses on that? Where does the wheel go? Right to where you were looking. It's the same thing. Same thing with your thoughts. It controls your mind, your body, and your spirit, what you think. So put your sword to work and put your mouth to work praising God, thinking on these things. Here's the second thing that God brought me to, was he showed me. He says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, there's two different things, which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I heard a pastor testify, his wife testified not too long ago. They have a very large church in Tennessee. And she suffered depression for many years. I think it was like 7 or 8. And she said, every day I would get up and go into my prayer closet. I would drag myself into my prayer closet. And I would bind and rebuke depression. She knew what she was dealing with. Had been dealing with it for years. I may be wrong in the years, but it was years. And she said, I was in there just binding every day, going bind. And then I would see nothing change. And one day I asked God, what am I fighting? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm using the word of God. I'm dealing with the anxiety and the depression the best I can, but nothing is changing. God, what is wrong? What am I fighting? And he told her, he said, your depression is your will fighting against my will. That's all it was. My will. You're fighting against my will for your life. When she realized what she was doing, dealing with, she submitted to his will, and her depression was gone. It wasn't a spirit from the enemy. It was her own will fighting against God's will. She just didn't want to do what God wanted her to do. She had all this going for her over here, and she was settled in it, doing well. But God said, now it's time for you to come over here and do this. because I have other plans for you. And she didn't want to leave this for this. Could your depression be that? Could it be weight, heaviness? Could it just be not obeying God? Could it be disobedience? Could it be anger? Could it be unforgiveness? Could it be jealousy? Could it be anything that you're not walking in and being disobedient with God? Ask God what you're fighting against. He'll tell you. Be prepared. Because, you know, Holy Spirit don't lie. He's going to tell you truth. And it's going to hurt. Sometimes it hurts a lot. Ask him what you want me to know. Will you show me, God? Why am I dealing with this issue? You can defeat your depression if you do that way. When God showed me that, and I had heard her testimony before, but it came back to my remembrance doing this study this week. He brought me back to Luke 13, 10 through 13. And remember, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Now, when you look at the word infirmity in the Bible in this instance, it means feebleness of body or mind. We always just assumed she had an illness. What if she had depression, heaviness, anxiety? What if it was something of the mind and not just physically a disease? It means both. She was weighed down, but when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." He didn't say you were healed. He said you were loosed. She was bound by something. Something had her bound and bowled over. Something had her weighed down, putting her in a position of vulnerability. How many times do we allow those things in our life to weigh us down and bow us over? Put us in the downward position where we can't fight off the enemy. And actually, I preached one time about this, and he wants you in his position. Do you remember his original position? The dust of the ground. That's where he wants you. Not able to see, to defend ourselves, not able to breathe, to get life breath into our life. Her organs weren't even able to function properly because of her position of being bowled over. Do you imagine what it was like to try to eat and keep food down? I don't know about you. After a certain age, when you've been over like that, that stuff comes back up. You have to be careful. You got to give it time to get all the way down. But imagine what her life was like. This condition can lead to death. When we allow anything to have control over us, even disobedience, we are allowing something to physically, spiritually come into our lives that will kill us, not only spiritually, but in physically. I love that Jesus said, "You are loose," which signifies that she was bound by something that had manifested in her physical body. I wonder if we could see spiritually what we're bound with. There are some people that I see and I can tell what spirits they run with. I can see those. I can see that. I can see what they're bound with, quote unquote. They may not be physically bent over, but I can meet people and you can sometimes discern that they're running with certain spirits. God's telling you something and showing you something. I wonder if we could see that, how we would feel about ourselves and others. He didn't stop. He endured all for us. Jesus did, even death. So that we could have life and life more abundantly. How did you defeat that? He spoke the word, you are loosed. You are loosed. Again, sword of the Spirit, word of God. The word come to life. So how do we, and just the two things that I've talked about, and my time is up, I'm going to go through this quickly. What is our strategy to defeat depression? 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, rolls around as a roaring lion, walking about who he may devour. Verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Submit yourselves, therefore, God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. James 4, 7 through 8. We've got to submit to God, his will for our life, his way of fighting the battle, his plans, because they are mightier than ours. That's the first thing. Resist the devil. Every opinion, every thought, every feeling that comes upon us, we've got to take it to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is called casting your care. And if it doesn't add up, then we're to leave it alone and use the word, the sword of the Spirit, to defeat it. And then we are to draw near to God. Get in his presence. Refocus on him and all the good things in our lives that he has provided. All his promises in the word. Refocus. One thing I do know is don't withdraw from people and places, the ones that can help you anyways. This is what the enemy wants. He wants you alone and vulnerable. It's okay to be alone for a while. But when you are pushing out everyone that can help you, everyone that can strengthen you through power and through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, then you have a problem. You're setting yourself up for an attack. And then my own thing, self-care. Take care of yourself. Take a walk in the natural. Put on some gospel music or word, whatever you like to listen to, and walk. It's amazing when you get out in God's beautiful nature and you listen to his word, how that can readjust your mind. Just something so simple as a walk. The one gentleman said he would journal the good things in life. Cast all your cares upon me because he cares for you. These are some of the things that I have learned in my life and that I've had to put into play this week. Again, because he's not going to come at you one time. He's going to come at you as often as he can, because he wants you bowled over and unable to defend yourself. And heaviness, depression, anxiety, the cares of this world will do that. Learn the signs. This is what this service is all about. We want to teach you how to be victorious in your spiritual walk and live life more abundantly. Father, I thank you for the words that you have given this vessel, Lord. I pray that everybody that hears it will come into agreement, Lord, and will apply it to their own lives, and that we will be stronger, that we will be more joyful people, Lord, and that people will see you in us and desire you, Lord. Let us be that light. I pray your blessings upon the word. You say it won't come back to you void. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.